Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Back Chat. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher. I specialize in yoga for scoliosis, as many of you know already, of course, but welcome, of course, if you are here new. So this is my weekly live stream, which happens at 4 p.m. UK time every week. And yes, it's great to be here. Now, you might have noticed that the title of this talk today is called The Neuroscience of Hannah Somatics. And it was supposed to be an interview with James Knight, who is a yoga teacher and a certified Hannah Somatics educator. Now, he's not here. I don't know where he is. So I don't know if we got messed up with the time change, something like that. So I apologize that you're just going to have to deal with me today. And I'm really sorry if you tuned in for James. Now, it might well be that he still comes and he still joins us. But yeah, I'm really sorry. I don't really know what exactly happened. Because I was really looking forward to this conversation as well today. And those of you who were here last week, we talked a little bit about neuroscience. We talked about pain. So this was supposed to be quite a nice introduction to neuroscience, obviously, and to what James would have covered. So I'm really sorry. Christina, I know that you tuned in specifically for James, so I'm really sorry. He might still come. Maybe he couldn't find the link, something like that. So we are going to have a little chat. And of course, because this exact topic is not going to happen, because this is not my speciality, I'm going to open it up to questions. And for some reason, there never seems to be a shortage of questions. So if you are here watching me live, please let me know anything you want to ask me. Obviously, it's going to have to be yoga and scoliosis related. Otherwise, I probably can't help you. But yes, feel free to ask. You want a little bit of input on if it's your own personal practice, or maybe you are completely new to yoga. Maybe there's something that you want to have answered. Good. So Christina is saying maybe another day. Yes, I'm sure it will happen. If not today, another day. Yes. And I know James was really keen as well to chat to us. And he specifically wanted to do this live as well, to be able to interact with all of you. So I really don't know what happened. One of these things. You know, these things that we're trying to plan and then things don't go according to plan. And does that sound familiar to anyone? You know, pandemic sort of things that seem to happen all the day. We're making plans and then it doesn't work out quite the way we want it to. So let's have a chat anyway. And I get so many lovely questions every day. So fortunately, I don't have a shortage of things to talk about regarding yoga and scoliosis. So I am going to read you one of the messages that I got today. And it was about the possibility of reducing curvature. So this is a young lady, and she's asking, I would like to ask you something. Is it true that this curve will not decrease just by consistent yoga? And she sent me a picture of her spine. Well, she sent me a picture of her body. So she's asking me for advice. do you think that this is not going to decrease? I was told that it is impossible to decrease my curve just by yoga. I was told that I need to do Schroth method or something, but I have no money for it. So yes, these therapies can be quite expensive, and Schroth people that are certified in Schroth therapy, they have gone through huge amount of education. They will have studied for years. They're all trained physiotherapists. They are specialized in this Schroth method, which is not a short training. And there are different layers as well. So it does take years and years and years to learn all those specific exercises. So this is just something that I want to say here. Yes, of course, this can, it's often not cheap, right? And depending on where you are in the world, generally medical treatment is not cheap. And then if you want to do something very specific, or if you want to see a specialist in any sort of area, it might cost quite a little bit of money. So that's what she said about Schroth therapy. I would like to ask, is it still possible by doing yoga? I stopped doing yoga for 3 days. That's okay. I stopped doing yoga for 3 days because of what I was told. I need assurance if that is possible. Okay, so basically, I think what she wants to know is I'm kind of imagining she stopped doing yoga because she doesn't want to do any harm, of course. But again, just to reassure anyone that any yoga, even, you know, not tailored to scoliosis, is still better than no yoga, right? Okay, of course, you can injure yourself in a yoga practice. And I know there are some yogis here. Feel free to chip in. I've had yoga injuries in the past. I have torn a hamstring before from a bad adjustment, to be fair. I've had problems with my knee from yoga. But again, I just want to say as well here that yoga is not the fault. It's not the fault of yoga that you injure yourself. It's your own fault, really. And I am taking full responsibility here for my yoga injuries. It was my own fault. I got injured because I wasn't practicing with awareness. My ego got the better of me. I really wanted to do the pose. I wanted to go further into the pose. I wanted to do a deeper pose. And that's when it happened. So it's not yoga's fault if things go wrong. So that's just something that I want to point out here. And that is one part of it. So she stopped doing yoga because she's scared of doing anything wrong. Rest assured, if you're listening to your body, you're not going to do anything wrong. But then she's asking about, can you decrease your curvature? And it's very interesting. I'm doing actually with Schroth therapists, certified Schroth therapists. I am doing a course at the moment, an eight-week course. And it's very, very interesting to hear about their perspective, obviously, and what they say about decreasing curvature. So they say something very similar to what I say. And I always say, you can improve your posture, anything kind of soft tissue related, you can definitely improve, and you can find overall more balance, which is going to help you not to increase your curvature. But most likely, you are not going to change your bones, the structure of your bones. If there is structural scoliosis is where there's actually a problem in the bones and the vertebrae themselves. So if you would like, if your spine is curved and you see your x-ray and you are like, well, I'd rather have a straight spine, then you might have to go down the route of surgery. Now, I can tell you that even if you go down the route of surgery, that's not going to be the end of all the problems, because the body is very, very strong. And I have seen cases where people have had spinal fusion And even with those big like Harrington rods and things like that, over time, the body still goes back to this kind of scoliotic shape and the muscles take over, the rib hump gets bigger, you get pulled in that direction, even with surgery. So I think we are much better off working with what we've got, finding the optimal position for us. And really our goal should be to, if your goal is to decrease your curvature, you're going to cause a lot of unhappiness for yourself. You're going to cause a lot of frustration. It can be incredibly frustrating. If you make it your goal to feel well, move well, look well in your body, and I mean this from an alignment postural point of view, then you've got a much better chance of making a difference. And in the long term, you might actually decrease your curvature, but this should not be your primary goal. That's going to be very, very, very difficult and very, very hard to deal with. Good. So Christina is saying, yes, it's how you approach any exercise. Absolutely. So it's not so much about what exactly you do. And I can tell you as well, when you work with me, when you work one-to-one with me, at the end of the day, and in the beginning, yes, there are certain things that I prefer for scoliosis and that I think are more productive for scoliosis. But then the more advanced you get, the more awareness you get, the more, you know, the world is your oyster. There's so many yoga poses out there. And there's so many different movements as well. And you can do all of them, really, if you do them with awareness and if you bear in mind what is happening. And this is why it's so important to know what your curvature is and what the exact imbalance is in your body. And again, this was something that I wanted to discuss with James, and I'm sorry. So those of you who have joined me, sorry, James is not here. I'm not quite sure what happened. I will follow up, obviously, and we will get him on back chat soon, I promise. But yeah, for some reason, he's not here. But what I did want to talk to him about was this and this is from this book here called Somatics, Thomas Hanna as well. And they call it sensory motor amnesia. So it's basically a forgotten part in your body. And this is something I recognize so much with people that have scoliosis. It's like, and again, tell me if you can relate to this. And I hear it all the time with people that have scoliosis. There's like one side of the body is completely taking over. That's, you know, it's usually the convexity in my experience. There is pain, there is tightness. Everything seems to be going on in that one side. And then the other side is almost like it's not there. It's like forgotten about. And this is the sensory motor amnesia, the sensory part, at least, first of all, but then also in terms of muscle activation. And very interesting. So a few years back, I went to see an osteopath. And at this point, I was already teaching yoga for scoliosis. And I had a good idea of, you know, how this all works. And at that point, I was taught, and that's what I was teaching as well, that one side of the body is strong and tight, and the other one is weak and long. So one side, the convex side, is, again, I don't believe this anymore, but that's what I believed at that point. So, and he was showing me that actually my concave side, it's just not working. And he did this with he was a kinesiologist as well. So he did this few movement tests basically to see if my QL muscles would activate on demand on the concave side, which I thought was the strong and the tight side, or the short side, contracted side, and it simply wasn't working. So it was just not switched on. And I said, so what do I need to do? And he was like, well, you need to find a way to switch it on. Now, unfortunately, he didn't have the solution for me either. So, but he did a few kind of manipulations, and you know, that helped to kind of bring a little bit more awareness again into that part. But yeah, that was a big light bulb moment for me. That it's not that easy. There is more to it, right? There's one side which is long, of course, and tight. That's where the all the sensations are. And then the other side is also weak. Even though the convex side is weak, the concave side is also weak because it's not actually working, because it cannot lengthen on demand. So again, I think that's why it's so important to know what you're dealing with and know what your curve pattern is, to be able to make a change. Okay, good. So feel free, those of you who are here, feel free to let me know if you've got any questions. Again, unfortunately, James is not here, but we can still have a chat if you want. And I can go through a few things. And if you're new to Yoga for Scoliosis, obviously, feel free to let me know. I saw someone here who's saying, I have scoliosis. And yeah, so let me know what your question is regarding this. So Christina saying, with a little somatic movement experience I have, I feel that it helps with releasing the area of convexity. On the other hand, the concavity can learn to activate, as you're saying. Yes. And Christina, have you done Sarah Warren's course? She's of the Somatic Movement Center. Have you done her course? Let me know if you have, or if anyone here has done her course. So it's a somatic movement online course. Really good. So you can do it in your own time. And it's not very expensive. It's very accessible. And it's not, I wouldn't say it's completely targeted for scoliosis, but she does kind of refer to scoliosis quite a lot during that course. So Christina is saying, yes, she has done her course. What did I want to say with that? Oh, activating the concavity. Yes. So, and in the beginning, so when you start with this kind of somatic movements, it's a little bit counterintuitive. I don't know if you agree, Christina. And again, this is something I wanted to ask James about, and just to get his opinion, is this feeling of that in our convexity, we feel that it's tight, right? And we have this urge to stretch it out, to lengthen it even more, right? Anyone knows what I'm talking about? So I'm talking about the convexity. Maybe if you've got a rib hump, if you've got ribs sticking out, that's your convexity, the area that is curved outward. Very often I see this with my clients all the time. They come to see me and they say, you know, this, everything, again, this is what I said in the beginning, everything is on this side and I really want to stretch it out. Now, that could be the exact wrong thing to do. So that could be like the complete opposite. First of all, if you are stretching it, you are going further into your curvature and those muscles are already stretched to the max. So they're already kind of holding on for dear life. And then you're just pulling them further than that. So that might not be the best thing to do. And somebody was mentioning this on Instagram as well, not related to scoliosis, but related to hips, tight hips. And I'm going to find it for you. So it's 3 Physio Yoga, 3 Physio Yoga Method. Sorry. I'm going to try and find it for you, because this was really, really good advice that she's given us. I'm going to try to find it. Of course, when you're trying to. My goodness, she's doing so much content. Okay. Can't find it. Anyway, she was saying about stretching. Look, you might feel that you want to stretch, but don't stretch, because that's actually the complete wrong thing to do. And if you can already sit cross-legged on the floor, that means your hips are all already flexible. That means you do not need more stretching. You will need something else. You will probably need more stability, or you need something else. So same thing. I'm relating this back to scoliosis. We feel that we need to stretch out this one side, but actually we don't. We need to kind of teach it to shorten. And again, this can be a little bit counterintuitive. And this course, the somatics course that I did with Sarah Warren, it's quite a different approach to what I have learned from Elise Browning Miller, for example, where we correct the posture in the poses. So we kind of lengthen what needs to be lengthened, and then we are in the poses. She works more on the tightness, on this releasing of muscles. And the whole principle of it is to go into the contraction first of the muscle that you want to release. So you contract it, contract it, contract it, contract it, and then you slowly, very slowly release it. So actually there's one movement where you're lying on a back, and I'm giving this example of having a kyphosis, so a rounded back. What you would do is you would actually go a little bit into your kyphosis, and then you very, very, very slowly release it, release it, release it. And that's how you release that tight muscle, but you're not stretching it out. Yes, you go a little bit further into it, but then the whole purpose is to release it slowly. So let me know if that makes sense. And this is as far as my somatic movement experience goes. Again, if you have tuned in for James, he's not here, I will get him on. Yes, so her course, Sarah Warren's course, is a very good one. Let me know, Christina, what you thought of it. I thought it was very useful. Good. So hello, Christine. I had scoliosis surgery about 2 to 3 years ago, and my right shoulder blade is bothering me. I noticed that I have a rib hump. Is there any hope? Good. So thank you so much for your question. And I would say, this always depends on your specific surgery, obviously. So I would like to know from you where exactly your surgery was. And also I would like to know if the rib hump is getting worse. So these are kind of the things that, yeah, I would kind of question a little bit more. And as you're saying, your surgery was about 2 to 3 years ago. I'm assuming that you have a little bit of flexibility in the spine, just because the newer surgeries are a little bit better and they give you a little bit more give. If you had told me you had your surgery 30 years ago, I would have said, ooh, it's going to be difficult, right? Because everything is so fixed and it's hard. But because it was only a couple of years ago, I would say, generally, without knowing you at all, I would say you've got a much better chance of, you can definitely make a change about the sensations. You can definitely improve that part. Are you going to physically change your ribs? Again, you can change the appearance of your posture, depending on how much flexibility you've got still in your spine. There's things that you can do to strengthen your shoulder as well, to make sure that the shoulder blade kind of comes back onto the upper body rather than sticking out. But yeah, I would kind of, I would need to know more. Right. Aaron is saying, you're a new subscriber. Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm from India. Lots of love from India. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Let me know if you've got any questions about yoga, about scoliosis. Those of you who have been tuning into this back chat every week, you know that I've got a different topic every week. Last week, it was all about pain, and I really enjoyed that chat, actually. Different topics. I had a lady talking about pelvic floor, pelvic pain, pelvic imbalances before. Who else? We had Elise Browning Miller on here. We had somebody talking about the psychology of yoga. We had a few nutrition talks already. So I try to have interesting people on here. Again, sorry that James is not here. Okay. Right. So I live in Sweden and I had surgery here in Sweden. But since I have a rib hump is pulled out forwards and I have spina fusion, I don't know if there is hope because I have spina fusion. Again, there's always hope, first of all. There's always hope. But, you know, it depends on exactly. I would, but with spina fusion, I am very conservative and I am very careful about recommending general things, right? If you didn't have a spinal surgery, I think there's more things that you can experiment with in a way, not in a kind of mad scientific way of doing crazy experiments on yourself. I mean, in exploring and trying a few different things. If you have a spinal fusion, the fusion is there for a reason, right? And it's fixing your spine in a specific way that makes sure that you're safe and that you know, it was given to you because probably if you hadn't had the surgery, potentially there would have been problems with the vital organs, with the heart or with the lungs. So that is usually the reason why you would have a surgery. So I would always be grateful that you know, you have had it and it's good, you're alive, you're healthy and all of that. But in terms of like positioning of the shoulder, soft tissues, muscles, there's definitely something that you can do. Now, will that change your rib cage? I don't know. Some people, you know, have seen an improvement. But really, it's about, again, it's about optimizing what you have. Nobody is perfect, right? Have you seen anyone who is perfect? I haven't. We all have something that we're unhappy about, that we're finding difficult to accept, that we don't like about ourselves. And sometimes, you know, you would be surprised. I was talking to Denny Binnington about this again on Backchat a few months back. And she is the most beautiful lady. She's like really tall. She's graceful. She's thin. She's got like the perfect body. Everything, a beautiful face, everything. And she was telling me about her body issues, and what she has in her mind is that she, like, her one arm is thinner than the other arm, which is due to a condition that she's got. I didn't, you know, and I know her, she lives in my local area, and I didn't even know about this, right? I didn't even know that this was going on. But, you know, that's, I'm just trying to highlight that, you know, everyone has got something that they are not so happy about. And yes, there might be something that is still visible, but it's about learning to be happy in your skin. And I know that this is easier said than done. And this can be a long process and it can be a long kind of transformation. But again, there is hope. And again, this is what I love about the teachings of yoga. It's not only about all the things that are wrong with you and trying to fix them. It's about taking what you've got and finding the best, or bringing out the best version of you. And there's nobody else like you. You are unique, and your spine is unique, and you are beautiful, no matter how your spine looks like, no matter how big your scar is, or how big your curvature is, or how big your rib hump is. You are beautiful, and you are perfect just the way that you are. Good. Lovely. So I hope, where's my surgery person? I'm grateful for the surgery, but since I have problems with my right shoulder blade, my right rib hump is a bit uncomfortable sitting, and my chest is not even because of the rib hump. Yes, so very, very common. Of course, this is not the first time that I'm hearing this. I hear this all the time. And, you know, you might want to think about, and I say this for people with spinal fusion, your job is to keep the unfused areas, so the areas that are not fused, your job is to keep them as healthy as possible. And by that, I meaning, yes, mobility is good, but also stability. You also need to make sure you strengthen those areas. And the shoulders, that's one of these areas. So I always, always, always recommend a lot of kind of strengthening exercises. And you might want to look into kind of resistance and weights and things like that as well to strengthen the shoulders. And then, you know, you might be able to open this part of the chest a little bit more that is sunken in, and get a little bit more space there. Good. So Gail is saying hello. Hi, Gail. Thanks for the back chat. Thank you for tuning in. So nice to see you. And Gail does amazing work as well with the older generation, isn't it? And with the chair yoga, I always find this really inspiring. Good. So Christina saying pain is the worst. If you feel uncomfortable, then it's harder to be happy. When you feel well, everything else doesn't matter so much. Yes, absolutely. And sometimes we, if everything goes well, we kind of forget that everything goes well. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's really only when you are in pain that you truly appreciate what it's like being without pain. Right. And you're right, Christina, when you're in it, it's sometimes difficult to see the light, right? When you're in the storm, and when you are in a lot of pain, then it's very, very hard. So I think mindfulness, like apart from all the other things, you know, the strengthening, the flexibility, the movement and all of that, all good. I think mindfulness is such an amazing tool. And I love this type of meditation where you're bringing the awareness to a part of your body that is in pain and that feels bad. And then you bring the awareness to a different part of your body that is not in pain, something that is pain-free. And I guarantee you that you will have a part of your body that is not in pain. But because obviously the painful areas are the loudest ones, they draw our attention inwards. But actually, there are a lot of parts in our body that are pain-free and that feel good. And it's almost like noticing that this is the background. The background is no pain, and no pain is always there. And we can choose to be only aware of the pain, or we can choose to also pay attention to the other parts of the body. And I did talk about a little bit more about pain, obviously, last week as well. And anyone remember, I talked about the gate control theory of pain. So there are things that you can do, and this is from a neuroscience point of view, that you can do to inhibit those pain receptors. and making sure that they don't go from the spinal cord up towards the brain. Because what is happening? Everything is happening in the brain. Pain is actually in your brain. It doesn't mean that it's not real. It doesn't mean that it's not true that, you know, that your pain is imagined, but that's where it lives at the end of the day. So once you understand this, it gives you a completely different perspective on dealing with pain. Good. So I'm actually thinking about starting going to the gym and develop myself and build weight and muscles. But if you can recommend me some exercise for my condition, that would be appreciated. Yes. So this is about spinal fusion. Again, you asked me about spinal fusion. What's the best thing to do with spinal fusion? I do have a playlist on my channel here, Yoga Berry. Look for that one with some yoga practices, and they will all be in a neutral spine. So they will all be without kind of any type of flexion, extension. What am I missing? Flexion, extension, side bending, or rotation. They will be in a neutral spine, and they focus more on hips strengthening. Hip strengthening is really important. Shoulder strengthening is really important. You know, the legs need to be working well. And I kind of went from the top down now, but really you want to start from the feet up and making sure that everything is really, really well supported and stacked up. So I think going to the gym is really, really good. You might want to look at Caroline Bauer's, is it Caroline Bauer? Yes, I think it is. Scoliosis Handbook. So if you Google Scoliosis Handbook, you will find it. That is specifically for spinal fusion. And there are some things that you need to be mindful of if you've got a fused spine, especially in the thoracic area. So anything going up over your head, you do not want to have a lot of load there, or you do not want to have any load there, really, to be honest, because it makes sense, doesn't it? When you bring your arms up over the head and you don't have spinal fusion, you're going to use your spine. So that means that if you have spinal fusion and you do this sort of movement, then you're going to go against your fusion. Not so good. So there are just a few things to kind of be mindful of. So that's a really, really good resource. And then we've got Strength and Spine as well on Instagram. Just checking again that I don't say anything wrong. Beth Terranova, Strength and Spine. She's a really, really good resource for things that you can do. And she does, I believe she's got a few exercises on there as well. And she's got a free guide as well for strength training for those with spinal fusion. So quite a few options there. There's always things that we can do. Okay, sorry, I missed one of the questions here. ARB, let me know what your name is. That would be great. So, dear Christine, I have a hip dysmetry due to a lumbar scoliosis causing a false leg length. Are you saying a hip asymmetry? I think that's what you're meaning, isn't it? With a lumbar scoliosis, false leg length difference. Is it possible to revert it, correcting the scoliosis with Lauren Fishman method you showed us? Okay, so first of all, I would question, is it really, Alvaro. Okay, lovely. So I would, leg length difference, always a tricky one. Is it really a false leg length difference, or is there actually a leg length difference? And I know exactly what you mean, because I've got the same thing. So I've got a lumbar scoliosis with hips asymmetric. Some people say I've got a leg length difference. Some professionals say I don't. I've never had an x-ray, to be honest, of my legs. That's the only way to determine if there is actually a leg length difference. Now, if you do not have a leg length difference, then you are in a much better place, because you cannot physically lengthen your leg. Well, what you could, I'm having said that, what you could do is wear something in your shoes, right? Wear a heel lift to help you out there. But if there is no leg length difference, then you're going to have to teach your body to even you out. And you're mentioning Dr. Lauren Fishman, obviously, and he is a great medical professional, and he is a yogi as well. And he's done a lot of research about poses that can reduce scoliosis curvatures, and he would, for your type of scoliosis, he would suggest to practice the side plank every day for as long as possible on the convex side of your lumbar curvature. Now, I don't practice this myself because I have found that if I do, there are other asymmetries going on in my body that I don't want, including my shoulder and my neck. And my neck started to hurt, so I stopped doing it because it didn't feel right in my body. So again, you know, you need to take responsibility of what feels good in your body. But his theory, you know, it's all he has had a lot of success, especially with younger people. And, you know, lots of before and after x-rays. So it is definitely possible. But I think you can get the same or similar results if you think about how you do a pose and maybe think about activating that convexity a little bit more. So engaging it, drawing that convexity to the midline and opening, creating space in the concavity at the same time. This is a little bit more of the Schroth approach. And we would work with a breath as well. But yeah, so all kind of different things that you can try out. So Gail is saying, I do a forearm plank and just really try to be against the couch. So that works for me. Gail, are you practicing this every day? Is that's about the side plank, isn't it? I would be interested to know. And I think Gail has got a right lumbar curvature. So yeah, it would be interesting to see if you feel that it has helped you. Good. So, all right. I will look up the playlist. This is for spinal fusion. What was the name of the book or the site? Thanks for the support and advice. So I'm going to type it into the chat here. It's called Scoliosis Handbook. If we can do it, and it's by, and I'm sorry, I'm very bad with names, and it's also because she's got two different names. This is why it's making this a little bit more tricky. Anyway, I think it's Caroline Bauer. Oh, Caroline Friedman, that's right. So she's got a married name and then she's got a name from before. So I'm going to type that in as well. Caroline Friedman. There you go. Oh, and I misspelled Caroline. So sorry about that. Done in a hurry. Good. So Gail is saying she's not practicing side plank every day, but a couple of times a week, left thoracic, right lumbar. Yes. See, I remembered your curve. Not such a good memory for names, but apparently I do have for people's scoliosis curvature. Yes, so I think that's what I recommend usually for people as well, is that you practice it more on your convex side. You still practice the other side, because as we have established, that concavity is not working, it's not firing up, right? It's not working. So it's still good to give it a bit of load, to give it a little bit of a challenge, right? Otherwise, we end up with sensory motor amnesia, which is what I wanted to talk to James about, who's not here, just to say that again. Right, so thanks. I'm also new here. and you got yourself a new subscriber. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for everyone who subscribed, obviously, and for turning up and sticking here with me, even though it didn't go according to plan. I was going to talk to James about neuroscience of Hannah Somatics. He's not here. I will still get him on because I'm really interested. Next week, don't go just yet. Next week, I will be talking to Dr. Lani Simpson about osteoporosis. So I'm very excited about this because this is a big topic. And she's written a fabulous book, which is on the other side of the room. But she's got a fantastic book. She's got some really good free resources as well. So she is going to be talking to me about her approach. She's also a yoga teacher. So I didn't know that from, I have her book, and that has been recommended to me as a resource for osteoporosis. But then when I wrote her and asked her if she wanted to be here, she said, oh, I'm also an Iyengar yoga teacher. Like, great, fantastic. So there we go. So that's what we're going to be talking about next week. Osteoporosis, Christina saying, always nice to chat with you. Thank you so much, Christina. I know you were looking forward to seeing James. We'll still make it happen. Right. Okay, guys, I'm going to go. Thank you so much. And I speak to you soon. Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.